1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to give you part two, and we do have the chart right again up there. Great. Okay, good. 1 Corinthians 15. Can we make sure we get that chart online too? I don't know if we did last week. Let's make sure we get that chart online tomorrow. The chart that I'll put up on the screen will be attached to the message notes online this week. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. What does that mean? Well, look at verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ. So if you're in Christ, everyone that's in Christ is going to be what? Made alive, verse 23, but every man in his own order. There is an order to the resurrection of believers. Our God is a God of structure. He's a God of order. And as I said last week, He doesn't just wing it, okay? And that's not honoring to Him when we just wing it, all right? He wants us to be orderly or organized. And so God says there's an order. Paul said there's an order to the resurrection. Every man in his own order. Man, of course, is generic. Every person, okay, man or woman, mankind, in other words, is going to be in his own order. What I want to look at here tonight is continuing to look at God's orderly system in which the resurrection is going to take place. And we're going to have to look at several passages to do it, because the purpose of this text, 1 Corinthians 15, isn't to dissect that and to break it all down. Paul's going to give a kind of a general statement, and then we can take that general statement, see that there is an order, and then we can go to other passages to see the details of the order of the resurrection. Okay? Now, if you look at verse 20 again, it says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the what? First fruits of them that slept. Look at verse 20. Go down to verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. So when we talk about the order of the resurrection, who's first? Christ is first. That's right. Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. And we said last week, that simply means He's first in a line of people who's also going to experience a resurrection. If He's the first fruit, that means that there's going to be more just like Him. Christ is first in a line of people that will be resurrected with immortal, incorruptible bodies. Now, after Christ, next in the resurrection, the order, will be members of the body of Christ. If we'll bring the chart up at this time, right now what God is doing is God is forming a new organism. He's forming the church, the body of Christ. And the thing that's going to end this time of grace will be this event that we've been studying on Wednesday nights called the rapture. So we've been going through 1 Thessalonians. We saw this thing about the catching up of the body of Christ. And if you look down at verse 23, all right, everybody look at verse 23. It says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, so He's first, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Now, we said last week that the second coming of Christ actually comes in two phases. And you remember I gave you the illustration, if my family comes to town, okay, they may come to my office here first to see me, and then they may go to my house. One coming to Daytona, but in two phases. First to the church, then to my house. Christ's second coming, when we talk about the second coming, it happens in two phases. If you'll look at the chart, the first phase is when Christ is going to descend from the third heaven. He's going to descend down into our universe, and He's going to catch up the dead in Christ and all those that are living that are in Christ, and He's going to catch up the whole body that's being formed during this parentheses time period, the body of Christ that's being formed. Okay? They're going to go up. They're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. When this happens right here, at that very moment, you and I are going to receive a glorious new body like the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. The Bible says He'll change our vile body and He will fashion it like unto His glorious body. And we studied this last week. This is review. Our resurrected bodies will have two characteristics that's going to make them glorious. Remember, look at 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. What's the first characteristic of our new body? Incorruptible. Sin won't be able to touch it. Sin is corruption. Sin won't be able to touch it. We'll have an incorruptible body. Sin cannot touch our new body. And then the second thing here, look down at verse 53. For this corruptible, in other words, this corruptible body, sin can touch it right now, but it's going to put on incorruption in the resurrection. And in the resurrection, this mortal, we all have mortal bodies that can die and that eventually will die. But this mortal will put on what? Immortality. So our new bodies won't be able to die. Death and sin will not be able to touch our new bodies. We're going to get resurrected bodies that are going to be like Christ. And they're going to be able to function in the heavenly realm with total ability and total mobility in the ages to come. And we saw all this last week. So let's move on, okay? Next, after this event, okay, where the body of Christ is going to be resurrected, remember we said the second coming comes in two phases. Christ is going to appear in the heavens. He doesn't come down to the earth here. He's going to appear here in the heavens, okay, and he's going to receive his body. And then once this event happens and we're received up, we're caught up in the air, the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 3, Romans 14, 2 Corinthians 5, that the judgment seat of Christ will occur. And that's going to be only for us, the body of Christ. All the saved are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment has nothing to do with your salvation. As I said this morning, that's settled in Christ Jesus. The judgment seat of Christ, which is going to happen up here after the rapture, that's going to deal with our service since we've been saved and how we've taken what He's given us and how we've utilized that for His glory. And 7 years after His coming in the clouds, okay, 7 years later, He's going to come again. He's going to come and He's going to return to the earth to establish Israel's promised what? Their promised kingdom on the earth. This is going to mark the beginning of Christ's eternal kingdom on earth. Now, go over to Revelation chapter number 20, right towards the back of your Bible. Revelation 20. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Okay, and notice here, Christ has just returned to the earth in Revelation 19. He's thrown the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire, Revelation 19, 20. Okay, now we come to Revelation 20. So now look up here at the chart. This event right here, the revelation, has just happened. Christ has revealed Himself to the world. He's come back down to the earth in Revelation 19. Now what happens next? Look at Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him. Now look at that next phrase. What does it say? 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Don't you love that phrase right there? Now I understand it has to do with the pit, but I just kind of like it when it says that Satan shut up. Amen. It says he shut him up. And it says he set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. So he's not going to have access to the earth or the heavens anymore till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. So look up here. Christ comes back down to the earth, okay, to establish his kingdom on earth. Satan is bound in the bottomless pit, as we just read. Now, at this time, right here, there's going to be a resurrection of all kingdom saints. That is, everyone from back here in the Old Testament is going to be resurrected to be in that kingdom. You know, there's a passage, and I meant to write it down. I don't think I did. But there's a passage in the Gospels, I think it's in Matthew, where Jesus talks about this kingdom that's coming, and he talks about how people are going to come from the east and the west to sit with Abraham and Isaac. You know, all these Old Testament saints are going to be resurrected here to be a part of that kingdom that's going to come on the earth. Also, all the people in here that were saved in the tribulation, this 7 years, they're going to get a resurrection right here. Also, those that died in faith in the tribulation, they're also going to be resurrected at this time. So in other words, all those that are time past saints and all the tribulation saints, they're going to be resurrected right here when Christ comes back. Look at Revelation 20 again. Look down at verse 4. Okay, so Satan's in the bottomless pit now, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now look at this. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, that's the Antichrist, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they what? These people were beheaded. Folks, when they cut your head off, what are you? You're dead. Okay, but the Bible says they what? They lived. So there's a resurrection, right? And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now we're going to talk about that in a moment, okay? He says this is the first resurrection. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Ezekiel 37. Do you remember the story about the valley of dry bones? And you remember how the dry bones that were the dead bones of people, Ezekiel got a vision where they were raised up and life was breathed into the dead bones and they lived, you know? And then he tells you what that is. That's the nation of Israel. And those who have died in faith in the nation of Israel in time past are going to be raised up, he said, and they're going to live again. Well, that's where that's going to happen, is right here. Okay, that those dead bones are going to be raised up. Israel is going to get a resurrection, and they're going to have life breathed into them, and they're going to be born again as a nation. And these Old Testament kingdom saints, the tribulation saints, they're going to be resurrected here when Christ comes back down to the earth. Now, here's what's interesting. Time past saints, okay, these folks back here, they had the future hope of a resurrection to live and dwell on this earth, okay? If you would, let me show you a fascinating passage. One of the very, they believe the first book chronologically in your Bible. In other words, the oldest book written is the book of Job. Go over with me to Job 19, and I'm going to show you something here. This is before there was any written word, okay? And but yet Job had the knowledge of a future hope of resurrection. Look at Job 19. Job 19. And look at verse 25. There's a song written about this verse. You probably heard it. Job 19, 25. He says, for I know... Job 19, 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day, where? Upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I what? See God. He had the hope here of a resurrection. Verse 27, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So here you got one of the oldest living characters in the Bible, but yet there was a knowledge of this right here on the screen, the kingdom on earth where the Redeemer would live on the earth, and Job knew that he would be resurrected to be able to live and dwell with that Redeemer on the earth. Amazing passage. Now, Israel is the channel through which God's kingdom is going to come to the earth. Go back to Exodus chapter 19. Okay, second book of the Bible, Exodus 19. When God made his covenant with the nation of Israel, notice what the purpose was. Why did God raise up Israel as a nation? What was the purpose in that? Well, God has got them here in the wilderness of Sinai, and they're here, and he's making a covenant with them in Exodus 19 and 20. Notice what the purpose is, all right? Look at, look at verse 4. Exodus 19, 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, now look at this. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my what? Covenant. Then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. And then look at the next phrase. Notice what their hope was. For all the what? The earth is mine. They had a hope here. It was an earthly hope. Look at verse 6. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And so, look up here. Israel is the channel through which this earthly kingdom is going to come on the earth. Therefore, all the saved Jews that have been saved back here since Abraham, all the saved Jews up through here, all the saved Jews here in the tribulation that are martyred and killed, all of them will be given a resurrection when Christ comes back here at the Revelation. They are going to be resurrected to live and dwell and to be the channel through which the kingdom will come on this earth. But all time past saints, like Job, are also going to be resurrected here to also live on the earth. Those that were believers before the nation of Israel was formed, before Abraham. You got a lot of saints. You got Abel. You've got Noah. You got Enoch. You got Job. So you've got saints from before Israel that also had that knowledge of the hope of a kingdom coming to the earth and then being resurrected. In Acts chapter 3, Peter said that the prophets have prophesied about this kingdom on the earth, since the world began. So there, we don't know how much exactly knowledge they had, but we know that they did have somewhat of an understanding that one day there'd be a resurrection of believers and there would be a kingdom that would come on this earth and that a Redeemer would come and set things right. And so when Christ comes back here at the Revelation, Matthew 6:10 will be fulfilled. You say, what does Matthew 6:10 say? If I get it started, you'll be able to finish it. I guarantee you know this verse. Matthew 6:10 is not, you can pray it all you want to, okay? You can pray that all you want to pray, but it is not going to happen here in your lifetime. It's not going to happen here in the parentheses. Matthew 6:10 isn't going to happen until over here. So you can pray it all you want to, but it's not going to happen. He's already told you that. And what is it am I referring to? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. That is a prayer for the kingdom saints that they're going to pray during this time period as they are looking for Christ to come back and establish that kingdom on the earth. Okay? So those that are part of the first resurrection, they're all going to be resurrected, but Paul said every man in his own order. So there is an order to the first resurrection. And it's going to come in two phases, all right? The body of Christ is going to be resurrected here at the rapture. We are then going to go through the judgment seat of Christ, where after we've gone through the judgment seat, we've given account for our service to the Lord since salvation, okay? Then Christ is going to present us, okay, as a chaste virgin. He will present us to the Father. And then we will be ready to occupy these heavenly places we talked about last week that are going to be vacated by Satan being booted out of those heavenly places in the first and second heavens. Satan and all of his armies will be cast down into the earth, and we will have been raptured, caught up, gone through the judgment seat, presented to the Father by Christ. We'll be pure, we'll be holy, we'll be ready to occupy with our new bodies, like Christ, those heavenly places that have been vacated by the government of Satan. And we will take Christ's government, the kingdom, that glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will extend His glory throughout those heavenly places. Now, look up here. 7 years later, or actually, you know, once we occupy right here at the midpoint, right here, we'll occupy the heavenly places. 3.5 years later, then all the kingdom saints are going to be resurrected when Christ comes back down here to the earth and they inherit the promised kingdom on earth. Did you know there's a judgment that's going to take place then also? In fact, there's a couple. Right here, when Christ comes back down in Matthew 25, He sits on the throne of His glory and He gathers all nations, and there's a judgment that takes place. And He separates the sheep from the goats. The goats go away into everlasting fire and the sheep go into the kingdom prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a judgment that's going to happen here, okay, up in the heavens with us, the judgment seat of Christ for the body of Christ. Then there's another judgment that happens here in which He will have a judgment of the nations. And let me show you something interesting. Go over to Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. This is fascinating. Luke 19. And I want you to notice that there's going to be the kingdom saints. Okay? The kingdom saints. Those of Israel that are resurrected here. The kingdom saints that come out of tribulation into the kingdom. All these Old Testament saints that are resurrected here, there will be a judgment here and they will be rewarded accordingly in this kingdom. They will be given responsibility here in the kingdom based on their service. I'll show you. Look at Luke 19 and look at verse 11. It said, as they heard these things, He added and spake a parable because He was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy, what's the next three words? Till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, look at this, have thou authority over what? 10 cities in that kingdom. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. And I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. He says, wherefore, then, gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. This is referring to this time period. It has nothing to do with us. This has to do when Christ is going to come back at His coming, and there's going to be a judgment that takes place. And the kingdom saints are going to be judged according to how they handled, okay, God, what God gave them to handle. And based on their service and their stewardship, they're going to be given authority, a level of authority in that kingdom. Okay, now, I want you to take your Bible, and I want to show you something. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm almost done. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And look with me here at verse 1. I said that the resurrection takes place, the first resurrection, in two phases. We see them both here in 2 Timothy 4:1. 2 Timothy 4:1. All right, look at it with me. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick. Now, what does that mean? What's the word quick mean? Those that are living. The quick, the living, and the dead. Notice, at his appearing. Okay, so at his appearing, he's going to judge the quick and the dead. And he's also going to judge the quick and the dead at his what? Kingdom. Now look up here. There's going to be a resurrection, and there's going to be a time of judgment at Christ appearing, which is the rapture. That's his appearing. He doesn't come back down and establish the kingdom. He just appears. He appears to us. And we're caught up to meet him in the air. And the quick, those who are alive in Christ, remember 1 Thessalonians 4, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain will also be caught up with him. So there'll be a judgment of the quick and the dead here at his appearing. All those who are in Christ, whether they're quick, living, or dead in Christ, will be resurrected, will be raised up, will go through the judgment seat of Christ, and then be presented to the Father to occupy those heavenly places. That's the appearing. But look what 2 Timothy 4:1 says. It says he's going to judge the quick and the dead, not only at his appearing, it says, and his what? Kingdom. So we've got another phase to the resurrection that's going to happen here when he returns and the kingdom is established on the earth for all the saints in all the other ages. Now, I hope you're getting this. I'm moving fast, but I hope you're understanding this, okay? So we've got two phases to the first resurrection, his appearing and then at his kingdom. And at his appearing here and at his kingdom here, he's going to judge the believers, those who were dead and those who were living, okay? He's going to judge them both at that time. And they'll go through judgment, and then they will enter into the heavenly places. Those in the kingdom will enter into the kingdom. Now, there is a second resurrection. Well, you assume that, right? If there's a first resurrection, there's got to be what? A second, right. So what is the second resurrection? Well, here's what it is. The second resurrection takes place 1,000 years later, after this right here. This concludes the first resurrection, okay? 1,000 years later, over here, you're going to have another resurrection. And it's going to be a resurrection of the damned, the lost of all the ages. Paul said in Acts 24:15, there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. John 5:29, Jesus said there is a resurrection of life and a resurrection of damnation. Daniel said in Daniel 12:2 that some will be resurrected to everlasting life, some will be resurrected to shame and everlasting contempt. In Revelation chapter 20, if you want to just flip over there, we'll end with that. This will be the last passage we'll turn to. Go back to Revelation 20. And notice it said, blessed, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Okay, so do you want to be in the first or the second resurrection? You won't be in that first one, right? Because the second death, that is hell, there, lake of fire, can have no part. It says it hath no power over you, verse 6. But it says they reign with Christ 1,000 years. But, look at verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired. Now, does anybody remember, where was Satan? During the 1,000 years, where was he? Right here. He's in the bottomless pit, down here. Now, look what happens. It says, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number to whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast. Now he's cast not into the bottomless pit, into his permanent abode, which is the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, the Antichrist, and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now look up here. 1,000 years, he's in the bottomless pit. You say, well, wait a minute. How can he deceive? I thought only saved people go into this. Actually, what happens is there'll be a multitude of people that will be in bodies like me and you, okay, still, you know, fleshly bodies, and they will go from this 7-year period. They will manage to live through it. Not everybody's going to be dead, okay? There'll be believers who will make it through this, and they will go into the kingdom. There will be nations, and I don't have time to get into all this, nations that befriended Israel, and those nations will be permitted entrance into the kingdom. But my point is, there will be a multitude of people in fleshly bodies that will continue to have children. Their children will be born. There'll be multitudes of people born in bodies like you and me in this kingdom. Now, we're up here in the heavenlies, okay? But there'll be multitudes of people that will be born during this kingdom time period. So, they're going to have bodies that are of Adam, okay? And at the end of the 1,000 years, it'll be decision day for many of them. Satan will be loosed. He will find many that will follow him in his rebellion against Jesus Christ. And, of course, there's not much of a battle. Verse 9, Christ sends down fire from God out of heaven and devours them. But what happens then? Well, look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. Now remember, these are lost people here. These are the damned. And notice they stood before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. These are lost people, okay? These are people, and again, I don't have time to get into all of this, but their judgment, their level and degree of punishment is going to be based upon these books that are opened up and the records have been kept, okay? But all these people, notice it says, verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now there's people who teach that this, the great white throne judgment, will only be for the damned. And what I believe, okay, is that it will mostly be the lost from all the ages, that hell is literally going to just going to vomit them up, and they are going to stand resurrected before God Almighty, where they're going to have to look Him in the eye, Jesus Christ in the eye, and give an account for their rejection of truth and their rejection of Jesus Christ, okay? And I do believe there will be people, though. I believe these folks that are born in this time period, there will be people that died in this time period as believers. There'll be people that are born in this time period that will be alive at the end of the 1,000 years. Well, they're going to have to be judged too, and I believe they will also be at the great white throne judgment, but they will be in the book of life, and they'll come through it into eternity. But for the most part, the great white throne judgment is going to be the damned. And my point is this. There is a first resurrection. It comes in two phases. Phase one is here for the body of Christ. Then he comes back 7 years later. All of Israel, believing saints from the past, time past saints, are resurrected here. That's the first resurrection. Blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. The second resurrection is primarily for those who are damned, those who are lost, those who rejected God's word and they rejected the Lord. And that second resurrection happens 1,000 years later, okay? So there is an order, and that's what Paul means over there in 1 Corinthians 15:23, when he says Christ is the first fruits, but he says every man in his own order. There is an orderly system to the resurrection that's going to take place, okay? All right. Did we understand all that? All right. I don't know if you got it all, but you know what the good news is? Somebody said, the good news is we know where we're going. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm going to be in the first resurrection. Amen. I mean, that we can say amen to that. Now, you may not understand all the different things we covered tonight, but what I was going to say is the good news is it's online, all right? So you can go back and listen to it again, and maybe if you didn't get it the first time, you can listen and get it again. But it is important stuff. It's in the Bible, and we need to understand these things, okay? And really, I'll tell you one of the main reasons why you need to understand this about the order is because a lot of stuff that you read many times in the Bible, it has to do with the kingdom saints on the earth, and then people misappropriate it for the body of Christ today, and they get all confused, and they're all, you know, messed up, and they're like, what in the world? And so it's very important to understand this so that we can rightly divide God's word and understand these things. And so, you know, it's just good to study these things and to get this sound doctrine in us because it benefits us, it grows us, it stretches us a little bit in our understanding, okay? And hopefully it makes you more hungry to want to study God's word. Isn't God's word a rich book? Amen. It's just deep, man. It's rich and it's good. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer.